Morning, church.
Morning. And welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church and the high king of heaven. This past Wednesday, we entered into the Lenten season. Mardi Gras is over. It's time for the journey to the cross. And often because of Mardi Gras, we need to journey to the cross. It seems that the liturgy of the church, which some might think could be a bit more lively in our tradition, becomes all the more somber during this season because it's a journey, or our mood is compelling about the mood is that it's a journey to the heart of Almighty God, whose love for us cannot be matched, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I am beginning a series of sermons today from the last three chapters of Mark on betrayal, denial, the mocking, the crucifying, and then the resurrection of our Savior Christ. But Lent, keep in mind, during this season, the Lord's Day is always Resurrection Day. And between now and Good Friday, we have five breaks in Lent as we gather to remember that our lives move to the cross and then to a resurrection. And that is always to be celebrated. And so I will remind you again that if you gave up chocolate for Lent, technically you can eat chocolate on Sunday, because Sunday is not Lent. Sunday is always Resurrection Day. I want to take a moment to welcome our visitors. Some of you are here often. Some are here for the first time. In either case, you are always welcome, and we hope you might be interested in joining into the life and fellowship of this particular church. There's a ritual friendship pad in the pews. If you would, please take time and pass that down the pews so we'll have a record of your attendance, and we know that where you came from, we can contact you if you leave your name and address and phone numbers and so forth. There is no children's choir today, but that's okay. All of our regular children are away today for whatever reason. But we do want to keep the reason for no children's choir today is that Elise Gavin, you know, she went to Mississippi to bury her father. And also Adam Peck, his family has traveled to St. Louis to bury his father. So we'll keep both of those families in our prayers and look for their safe return to Nacogdoches. Please read over the calendar and the bulletin so you'll know what's going on in the week to come. Immediately following worship, there will be a communion reception in Westminster Hall. If you're new to the church, it's right through these doors, through the library, outside. But before you hit the rain, take an immediate right turn and you're at the parlor. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Debbie.
I am serving on the session. I'm very happy to be doing that for the first time. And I'm co-chair with Betsy Tucker of the Christian Education Committee. And when I look out here and we see no children because of various things, and they're at Choye and at conclaves, I'm looking at the faithful who come, rain, slow, snow, sleet, or hail. So here you all are. And I would appeal to you to search your heart and pray about being a member of the Christian Education Committee. We meet once a month, and we talk about the life of the children and the adults of our church as far as the education of our church and the nurturing of our own body, of believers. We all could stand more Bible study. We could all stand more fellowship. And I remember when we were about to build the, 15, 20 years ago, the education building, I remember different people came up from the session and would talk about why we needed to raise the money for that Christian education building. And I'll never forget Dr. Tom Stanley stood here and he said, and he was, gosh, I bet 70 years old, 75. He was retired already. And he said, now many of you think, why do we need to? I've already done that. My children have already gone through it. I've done my part. I taught Sunday school. I did this. I did that. And it's somebody else's turn. And then he said, but I have grandchildren who are not here. And I have nieces and nephews who are not here. And someone else is educating them in the ways of God somewhere. Someone else is building programs for for our grandchildren and our nieces and nephews and those that we love. So I ask you to search your heart. Our first meeting will be on Tuesday, this Tuesday, at 5:30. It's not going to be long. We don't charm snakes or anything. But we just need more people on our committee for more ideas. If you love children, I don't have children. I love children. If you love children, if you have children, if you're interested in the future of our church and the future of our denomination, please, please consider joining us. And just give me a call or an email. I'm ddalton@sfasu.edu. Thank you.
ddalton@sfasu.edu. If it was a commercial, I'd repeat that 7 more times. But we do need your help.
I'll be on every list.
Now I invite Terry Morin to come forward for a special presentation.
And really quickly before I do that, if you're not signed up for the tutorial directory yet, and I'm on the lookout for you. Just know I would love, the church would love for all of you to be in the church tutorial directory. Really helps new members a lot. Please do that. I know you don't want your picture taken. I know. Do it anyway.
It helps old members too.
It does. It really does. Oh, my. Old. Okay. So let me get all this organized. Usually I don't need a microphone, but it's here, and I'm going to try to not be too loud for you.
No, I do need you to do something.
Okay.
I'm going to hand it to you and have you read something. Okay. March is National Women's History Month, so it would be fitting to present this award today. Good morning. It is my great joy and wonderful privilege to present this Honorary Life Membership Award of the Presbyterian Women in the PCUSA this morning to a very dear friend of mine. Those on the committee who have chosen to recognize this most deserving woman are Marilyn Smithart, Wanda McKnight, Peggy Wright, Debbie Dalton, Diana Walker, Lois Hale, Clarice Miller, Nancy Niehaus, and myself. Each one listed has been presented with this award in years past. To add an explanation point to this award, we also received votes for our honoree outside of this committee. So I thought that was really cool. Honorary life memberships are rooted in the tradition that began in 1912. Our good friend will now be a part of a select group who have been so honored over several generations. Most of you have no idea what our honoree has done in years past. As she quietly went about cleaning the church kitchen and keeping it organized for years, she helped Danny Sapp clean out closets, the refrigerator, the freezer, the cabinets, and on and on. She helped Robert Sanchez clean the fans in the fellowship hall, handing him things so he would not have to go up and down the ladder so often. Oh, did I mention that she kept the kitchen clean and organized? We missed that, by the way. This is a huge job, and there's a lot of people that use the space, so we really, really do miss that. I'm joking, jokingly about it, but it's serious. She was the Presbyterian Women Treasurer for so many years that we lost count. At the same time, she was Afternoon Circle Treasurer, keeping up with the little friendship fund that we take, and always suggested great ideas as how to spend some of that money. Most recently, she gave us the wonderful idea of purchasing a Nacogdoches throw for our good friends, the McKnights, when they moved on to Branson, Missouri. Oh, how thrilled they were to receive that. And there was a picture of the old university building on that throw. And Lewis actually had made things out of wood that are in that building. So he just said, oh, I've got stuff in that building. It was really so cool to be able to give that to them. By now, some of you know who I'm talking about, and she certainly does. But wait, again, for so many years that we don't even have a number, she organized the midday Noel lunches, set and decorated the table, and made sure that there was somebody there to collect the money. She even got her gentleman husband to help her with that. He could tell you about that. And of course, she cleaned the kitchen afterwards. She has been a member of the Dragonflies small group since it started in 2007. It was her suggestion that we take up a collection regularly, and with that, we have been able to give to so many wonderful causes over the years. Thank you for that. Okay, I have to tell you who this is, because some of you still don't know. Elsie Campbell. I always cry. Thank you, thank you. Much deserved, for sure.
I had another thing. She cleaned the birdhouse when the preacher had to live there.
That's true. She helped clean the birdhouse when our minister was moving here, and the family lived there for a while. Yes, she did. I have to tell you another thing really quick because it's so funny to me. Marilyn Smithart got this award a while back because, you know, I mentioned her name a while ago. We have the pin on that we got. She says, oh, I'm just so glad it's not me getting recognized in church. She's so shy. I'm not sure. Elsie might not hurt me later. But anyways, here we go. Elsie, you are always thinking of others. You are a happy, caring, positive person. Now I will. You are a good example of a Christ-like person. You are a friend to many. You tirelessly work behind the scenes doing things, thank you, to make others' job easier. For instance, if it's your turn to take care of the church flowers that day, if you go back here and the disposable cartons are sitting out and the notebook's out ready for you to write the name in and the little card and the ribbon is sitting there, you guessed it. It's probably been our little friend here, the honoree, that's been back there getting it all ready for you before you had to take the flowers out of here. I feel certain that the list could go on and on and on. However, when someone works quietly behind the scenes, there are very few records of what that person does. We just happen to know because we're good friends. I do know this, however. Elsie is a fabulous neighbor. She has keys to several homes. She turns on lights and freshens up homes when she gets a call from a neighbor because they live on the lake and some people just come occasionally. So she'll go to their house. She'll have the lights on. She'll have the house aired out. She'll have the heater on in the winter or the air conditioner on in the summer. I mean, she is just that kind of neighbor. Most recently, she mopped up lots of water. Lots and lots of water. And then she quickly notified the neighbor that's sitting right beside her that something in her kitchen had sprung a leak. Elsie and Roger were there to give support when the fans were put in to dry things out and the damaged floor was removed and the new floor was put in. And they're just always there. They take neighbors to the doctor's appointments. They stay with them during procedures. They take them home. They make sure that their needs are met. They're very active in their neighborhood association and take seriously the responsibilities of being a member of the neighborhood watch. Anyone would be blessed to be called your friend. One second. I am thrilled beyond measure to present this beautiful pen and this certificate to my good friend, Elsie Campbell. Finished by reading this little part right here. That would be great. Okay.
Please have a seat. The Honorary Life Membership Pen's design was adopted in celebration of the coming together of Presbyterian women from the former United Presbyterian Church in the USA and the Presbyterian Church, US. So the North and the South finally came together after the Civil War. Yeah, like 100 years later, but we finally did it. The caring, supportive hands represent women who seek to build an inclusive community of Presbyterian women. The leaf represents growth of our personal and corporate response to Jesus Christ as we nurture our faith. The dove indicates our work for peace in our own lives and throughout the world, shown in the globe. At the center of the design is the cross by which our sins are forgiven and we are freed to live in Christ, who is at the center of our lives. The overall design is of the butterfly, not a dragonfly, gosh. a butterfly, a symbol of newness in Christ, an emergence of new creation, Presbyterian women. We pray that you will wear your pen with the assurance that you are a very special part of the caring and supportive community known as Presbyterian women. Elsie joins the ranks not only with the women who have already been named, but also our dearly departed, Carolyn Hamrick, Lee Ella Burgess, Marjorie Guidry, Becky Stanley, Kent Castle, and Linda Peterson, All of us thank you, Elsie, for your faithful service and commitment to Christ and the mission of the church. We love you.
Yay. Okay. Thank you.
One thing I want to say, thank you, and I always do things behind door number one.
That's right.
Let us now take a moment to prepare our hearts for the worship of Almighty God.
I invite you to join with me in the call to worship that's found in the bulletin. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline
your ears to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me.
I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God.
Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
Let us worship God.
Thank you.
Hear now the prayer of adoration. Lord of all, it is to you we raise our hearts and voices in praise and adoration. For it was through your power the earth was created in majestic beauty. Through your sustaining Holy Spirit, we live each hour in wonder and awe of your presence. And by the work of Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to you and can boldly approach our God in worship. We praise you for drawing us together as a church family. And as we grow in Christ, may we witness to your love become evident through our life together. May we draw closer to you during our worship as we seek you with all our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 130, we read this great truth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Seeking our Lord's grace and forgiveness, let us bow before our Creator and confess our sins, beginning with the prayer found in the bulletin. Our merciful Father, when we remember your great love, and when we remember the kindness of Jesus, we should love each other. We are ashamed of the poverty of our own love. We confess that love has not ruled in our hearts and has not been guiding principle in our lives. We have not loved you, our God. We have not loved our neighbors. We have allowed our personal wants and desires to bind us to the needs of others. Forgive us, Father, as we admit our failure and our sin, our pride and our selfishness. Forgive us in love, that we may walk in the way of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He himself bore our
sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness.
Friends, this is the good news of the gospel.
And let us take a moment to honor God as we give to him his tithe and our offerings. Our Heavenly Father, we offer to you the gifts and our tithes. Use them for your purpose. Allow them to bring you honor. And yes, use our very lives in your service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord God, we pray for the same Holy Spirit which inspired Scripture to be written to open our hearts and minds to understand what you would reveal to us today. And knowing your word, may we have the courage to obey, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's Psalter comes from Psalm 31, various verses. The response will be sung to the tune of hymn number 494. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight, but you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong, and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. The scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. Hear the word of the Lord. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is this wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to those save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength.
We couldn't put the text of the anthem in the bulletin today because it's still under copyright, but I wanted to read it to you. It's adapted from the writings of Helen Keller. Through the dark, I sense a holy passion, music that beats with the pulses of God. God is in me, the light in my darkness, the voice in my silence. I feel the flames of eternity in my soul. I possess the light, which shall give me vision a thousandfold when death sets me free.
I've got something that I don't want to give everybody. I have the gospel. I want you to have that, but I have a little cough. I don't want you to have that. And so if I can see the children's eyes in here, who's back on the back row? Is that Shanae back there? Julissa? Oh, Jalissa, you got to take the earplugs out. I'm sorry. Then you can put them back in for the sermon. But a story that, based on a story that my father told, is about a little girl who learned how to sew. And with her sewing machine, she went home and she made some legs and arms and a body and a head and a smile and beautiful eyes. And she had her beautiful rag doll that she made all by herself. And she took the rag doll to the baseball game when her parents went to the baseball game. She took her rag doll to the birthday party of her friends. She took the rag doll to the park. But one day she took the rag doll to the park, left it on the table, the picnic table, and went to the swing. And when she came back, the rag doll was gone. She looked everywhere for her rag doll. She looked all over the park, and she couldn't find her rag doll. Well, years passed, and she was very upset that her rag doll was gone. But one day, some neighbors who lived about 6 or 7 houses down the road had a garage sale. And she went to the garage sale. Guess what was at the garage sale? A rocking horse. And a rag doll. And it was her rag doll that she had made. She ran home, got all of the savings that she could find from working around the house and doing errands, and she got her money. She went to the people who were selling the doll, and she paid them for the rag doll, and she took the rag doll home. And as she was going home, she grabbed the doll, held it up to her heart, and she said this, "I made you, and I bought you. Now you are really mine." Our Lord Jesus, through Almighty God, has made us, and the Lenten theme, through the cross, He's bought us, and now we are really His. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give You thanks for the good news of the gospel, that You not only made us, but when we fell far from You, You bought us in Jesus Christ. Help us to know that we are really Yours, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated. Hear the word from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus, arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion?" Jesus said, "that you come out with swords and clubs to capture me. Every day I was with you teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving the garment behind. Your pastor is beginning a new series of sermons based on the record of Mark's gospel on the betrayal, denial, mocking, and crucifixions of Jesus. I have been here once before to tell my story. I was here on a Thursday night, but your pastor thought he would invite me back to the first installment of this series, since I am the one who is accused of betraying Jesus. I did no such thing. I am Judas Iscariot, and I am here to warn you. For as much as you may not admit it, I am not that much different from anyone in here. And if you had been in my shoes, you may have done the exact same thing that I did. I am not the monster some want to make me to be. I am not the sniveling coward others choose to believe that I am. I am not a murderer. I bet it when it comes to morality, I am as good or better than anyone in this sanctuary. Yet my crime is seen as the most heinous in history, for it is said that I betrayed Jesus. I did nothing of the kind. I want you to know that I love Jesus and followed him with more dedication and devotion than any of the other disciples. I saw in Jesus who he was, the new Moses, the one who would deliver our people from Rome. In Jesus we had hope. All he had to do was use the power at his disposal. Some blame me for the cross, but let me go on record and say that if Jesus had done things my way, there would have never been any need for the cross. And now I am blamed for the suffering about which you sing about this time of the year. I was a businessman. I met Jesus on a business trip to the North Country. I guess Jesus saw something in me, for one evening, Jesus went to the hills to pray, and he was gone all night, and the next morning he came to me and he said, "Judas, come, follow me. I want you to be one of the 12 I have chosen to be with me, and I will send out into the world to tell about my kingdom." Well, I was honored for the invitation, but I had to consider about my business. On the other hand, it didn't take long to think about it. I willingly left all of my assets, considerable as they were, behind to follow Jesus. You see, I gave up as much or more than probably any of the other 11 disciples. I'll tell you one thing about following Jesus. It is never, ever boring. The most amazing part of my experience as a disciple came when Jesus sent us out, as logic would dictate. 12 people could cover more ground with Jesus' revolutionary message than if we all stayed together. So Jesus gave us the authority to cast out demons and to heal, and he told us to tell the people about his kingdom. He gave a long list of instructions, and then he concluded with these words, "Do not suppose I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." I should have known better than to take those words at their face value. Maybe I should have listened better, but on that trip, filled with great power, I was convinced that Jesus was going to lead a revolution against Rome. And with the power at his disposal, he would certainly succeed. We could have raised quite an army, and we could have established his kingdom, a kingdom that exhibited justice and righteousness. He would take his place on the throne where people would be treated fairly and decently. He would deliver us from Rome and their taxes and their harshness. He would also deliver us from the meaningless practice of our own religion, which was exhibited by the Pharisees. And I wonder if I were wrong to think about these noble goals. But I was enthralled. I became consumed with these thoughts. And combined with the authority that Jesus gave me to heal and cast out demons, if Jesus gave this power to all who aligned with him, Rome would be no problem. Consider the 5,000 and the 4,000 and the other thousands that followed Jesus. We could take Rome with Jesus' power and retake our city, Jerusalem, and the rest of our homeland in a matter of hours. But as time passed, I became impatient. The other disciples didn't seem to understand Jesus' purpose as I did. I'm not sure they ever understood anything. I have no idea what Jesus saw in this group of uneducated fishermen, farmers, shepherds, and a tax collector. Well, time would not allow me to talk about all that happened during Jesus' 3 years, but there came the time when Jesus turned his travels to Jerusalem. It was there he would set up his throne. Like David of old, Jesus would become the great king of his people. To this point, he had resisted being made king, but in Jerusalem, things would be different. It would be time to take control. When we arrived in the city, a crowd of people welcomed us. They laid down their coats and palm branches in front of Jesus. It was a quaint scene. But when he entered the temple, I thought Jesus was really going to do something important when he drove out the money changers and the buyers and the sellers. He drove the people out of the temple with a whip. I thought, now is the time. Now something's going to happen. He's going to take control. But he didn't do anything. My impatience grew thin during that week. Jesus seemed convinced that the way to set up his kingship was through preaching, through reasoning with our leaders, telling stories, proclaiming righteousness, loving your enemies. Maybe he was waiting to use his power as a last resort. I was thinking it's getting close to a last resort. He had offended so many people that the list that wanted him dead was growing at a tremendous pace. I had to do something before it was too late. I would force his hand. I had a plan that would bring in the kingdom. I reasoned. Think about the logic. Jesus would not allow himself to be arrested, because if he were arrested, he would be at the mercy of the Sanhedrin, and the chief priest and the Sanhedrin know how to twist the truth just enough to talk Pilate into executing him. Thus, Jesus could not be arrested. So that was my plan. I would tell the chief priest how to find Jesus at a time and a place when he would not be protected by the crowds. They would send their temple guards to arrest Jesus, but since Jesus could not be arrested, he would then call down the legions of angels that would protect him, and the rebellion would begin. Thursday morning, I slipped into the city to put my plan into action. I went to see the chief priests who were plotting to kill Jesus. All they needed to know was an opportune time. I negotiated with them. There was a profit to be made. 30 silver coins we collected could be put into our coffers to begin a fund to pay the army we would raise. In exchange for the 30 coins, I told them about the garden where Jesus would be praying that night. I led the soldiers up the Mount of Olives to Gethsemane, and I was relieved that Jesus was where I told the people he would be. I told those with me, "The one I kiss is the man you are looking for." I approached Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and I kissed him. And Jesus looked at me and said, "Judas, you betray your master with a kiss." Before I knew it, I was thrown out of the way, and soldiers would rush toward Jesus. Simon Peter pulled out his sword, and he cut off the ear of a man. I thought things were going as planned until I heard the voice of Jesus to tell Peter to put his sword away. And then he spoke to those who were arresting him. I looked to heaven. I looked to see the legions of angels that would come to rescue Jesus. I was ready to take up my sword, but nothing happened. There were no angels. Jesus, who I thought could not be arrested, allowed himself to be arrested. Things were going so fast, I couldn't keep up. I wondered throughout the night when the angels would come. It may be a long way from heaven to get here, and it just takes them a while to arrive. But it also seemed like Jesus was letting it all happen. When would the legions of angels come? I kept asking, and my question became a prayer. I heard the shout and the anger coming from the crowds that were around Jesus. I was confused and terrified, afraid that I had made a huge mistake. My plan was falling apart. By morning, Jesus had been beaten and spat upon. He was taken to Pilate, who had Jesus scourged. I heard the people cry out for Barabbas. And then I saw them take Jesus to nail him to a cross. What had I done? What was happening? My prayers turned to anger toward God for not coming to Jesus' rescue. My disappointment turned to agony. I could not live with the outcome of my plan. I took the 30 pieces of silver back to the priest, but they wouldn't receive it. They called it blood money. It was supposed to pay for an army. I threw the money at their feet and ran out into the darkness. Peter and I both proved weak in character that night. Peter ended up being the sniveling coward, I the ignorant fool. The difference was Peter confessed his weakness and was restored by Jesus and became a bold witness. I, on the other hand, would not confess. My plan should have worked. I did nothing wrong, so I never turned back to Jesus, and in the end, I could not live with myself. Now, please note that before you make me to be a monster, please note, you very well could be just like me. You say you wouldn't do what I did, but we all want Jesus to fit into our nice, neat little plans. We give allegiance while all the time desiring to use Jesus for our advantage. It's a game that we all play. But now I know. Now I know Jesus is Lord. Jesus fulfills God's plan, not our selfish desires, not our fears. And my story should cause anyone who listens to repent, to pray for a discernment that you may know the difference between God's kingdom and your kingdom. So every action you consider to be Christian should be measured by the gospel proclaimed by Jesus, where the poor are cared for, the rich are humbled, the sick are healed, the helpless hear good news preached to them. There's a great danger in trying to make Jesus into one who is limited by our plans, one who is molded by our values and our lifestyles. Unfortunately for me, it is too late, but let me tell you, Jesus is Lord. It is Jesus who changes us. It's not the other way around. Jesus forms us into people who honor God. His life guides us into truth. Don't make the mistake that I made. Don't try to use Jesus for your benefit. It's hard, but maybe this is why you walk through Lent, to remind you that it is Jesus' way. It's not ours. Amen. Will you please stand with me and let us say what we believe using the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 34 in the back of the hymn book. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures, and he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. And with the elders serving communion, please come forward. Will you bow with me in prayer? O Christ, out of the fullness, we have received grace upon grace. You are our eternal hope. You are patient and full of mercy. You are generous to all who call upon you. You are the fountain of life. You have taken away our sins. On the cross, you were wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. You are our life and our resurrection, our peace and our reconciliation. As we gather around your table, we give thanks for your gracious invitation. As we remember the words, "Come to me, all you that are overburdened. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and gentle in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." According to Luke, when the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. This is the Lord's table," and all who profess faith in Jesus Christ are invited to participate in this meal. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O God, our Creator and Redeemer. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. As part of your creation, you made us in your image to love and to serve you. But we forget your promises and abandon your commandments. In your mercy, you did not reject us, but claim us as your very own. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the choirs of heaven and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing the glory of your name. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He took upon himself the weight of our sin and carried the burden of our guilt. He shared our life in every way, and though tempted, he was sinless to the end. Baptized as your own, he went willingly to his death, and by the power, your power, was raised to new life. In his dying and rising, you give new birth to your church. Delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and spirit.
Remembering your mighty acts, we take this bread and this wine from all the gifts that you have given us and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Our Father, hear the prayers of the church, and hear our prayers for others. Hear our prayers for people whose lives have been devastated by the storms of life. Hear our prayers for refugees. Hear our prayers for our brothers and sisters who live in places where their lives are in grave danger because they profess you as their Lord. Keep them faithful, watch over them, and may they rest in your hope. Hear our prayers for those whose angers fester in their loneliness, making them vulnerable to the message of terrorist organizations. May your church reach out to them, giving hope, offering salvation in Christ. Give wisdom to our president and his advisors. Give wisdom to Congress and others who make decisions that affect so many lives. And we ask you to hear our prayers for those about whom we have special concerns. Lord, help us to be obedient to your call, to love all your children, to do justice and show mercy, and to live in peace with all your creation. Guide us through the desert of life. Quench our thirst with your living water and satisfy our hunger with the bread of heaven. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when with the redeemed of all the ages, we will feast at your table in glory. Through Christ, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit and your church, now and forever. And as we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, according to the holy institution of our Lord, and in remembrance of whom we do this, from the night in which our Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you. the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you. After the same manner, our Lord took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which has been poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you." The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you. Please join me. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. Blessed be his glorious name forever. Faithful God, in baptism you have adopted us as your children, made us members of the body of Christ, and chosen us as inheritors of your kingdom. We thank you that in his sacrament you renew your promises within us. Empower us by your Spirit to witness and to serve, and send us out as disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.
She did cocoa butter in the foil. Oh my God.